Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established." Have you ever dreamed of starting your own business? Do you want to start a new career? Do finances, family, or doubt stand in the way? If so, join us for today's episode of Do It Afraid, Stepping Out in Faith. I believe that transparency is the best policy. And in order to help others, you must tell the truth. My life has been both serious and comical, disappointing and fulfilling, but I would not trade places with anyone. I am Diana Edwards, mother, grandmother, chaplain, and entrepreneur, host of the Girl Talk with Diana podcast, real conversations about real life with real people. Hey, it's your girl, Diana Edwards, and I am super excited to have with me today on the show a very special guest. She is my daughter. She is my friend. She is my business coach. She answers all my questions. She's a wise old soul. She is a wife, mother, and the founder and CEO of the DM Firm, a business development strategy and project management company, and is about to have a little Zoe. Any day now. Please welcome to the show my girl, Miss Tasmere Gathers. Hey, Taz.
Hey. Thank you so much for having me.
How you feeling today?
Good. I'm feeling good today.
Countdown.
I know. I can't wait to meet Miss Zoe. I know she's going to be a firecracker.
She sure is. All the trouble she gave you.
I know. Tell me about it.
So Tasmere is a wife, mother, and a founder and CEO of her own company. Before we even start, I'm just going to share a little background with me and Taz. And she know I tell the story everywhere. I was on her show and told the story. Taz was an intern at the New York City Transit Authority. And I got transferred to the office where she worked at. So we would laugh and talk. And one day, I guess in her proud moment, she came to me and said, "Oh, I have this plant. And every morning and every night, I put my prayers in the plant." I said, "Oh, really? You put the prayers in the plant?" She said, "Yeah, it's so crowded. I have so many prayers." So I told her the plant probably is saying to the Lord himself, "Please help me. I'm dying here. All this paper around me. Why is she putting her prayers that's supposed to be going to you and me?" So I told Taz, "You know what? Maybe you should kind of like pray to Jesus and, you know, give the plant a break." So right then I said, "Yeah, I got to help this child." So that's how me and Taz got to know each other and became friends. Is that true?
That was me putting the paper in the plant. I did do that. I don't know where that came from, but I did put my papers in the plant.
You don't put them in there no more.
I don't put paper in the plants anymore.
So me and Taz became like really close. And it's amazing because I was transferred to that office. I met Taz. And when Taz left, I was transferred out of the office. So I always tell Taz, I was put there just for you.
Yes. It was so many things happening at that time because I was in graduate school. So to give like time spans, the recession had happened and I had graduated from undergrad. And I had thought, like most people, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to get this degree. I'm going to get this amazing job when I get out and I'll be able to start my life." But then the Great Recession happened. So that wasn't going to happen for me. So I was sitting and trying to figure out, well, what am I going to do? So I went to graduate school for urban studies at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was so committed that I'm never going to be in this space again because I enjoy going to school, but I wouldn't say that I'm a professional student. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I have to get this right this time because I can't graduate with another degree and then, you know, out here trying to find a job. So I did this internship at the MTA and I was so convinced that I'm going to find my way. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. So fast forward, I finished my internship at the MTA. Diana comes to my graduation. Uh-huh. And I graduate. I'm super excited. I was like killing it in graduate school, and I'm back looking for a job.
What was your degree? What's your degree in, Tad?
So I have a master's in urban studies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for this job, and I can't find a job. And I was complaining. I'm not going to even like dress
yes,
it up.
Yes, she was.
I was a little jealous.
We had a couple of people. We had to talk Taz off the ledge plenty of time.
Yeah, it was like I was not really understanding what was happening.
Yeah, your journey.
And why I was going through these situations. And I was a little spiritually immature that I didn't understand that sometimes you go through experiences not for yourself, but for other people to mm-hmm. be able to testify. So I was like, this just ain't gonna work.
I'm done.
I'm over it. This is not fair. And then I remember Diana telling me, you're going to be an assistant to somebody really, really important one mm-hmm. day. And I was like, what is she talking about? Because I can't even find a job. What is she talking about? Little did I know I was going to transform into this entrepreneur that I was going to mentor other people.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't see any of that I was going to have children. Like,
mm-hmm.
what?
Get married. I remember Taz was like, I want to get married. No, I think I asked you, do you want to get married? And you was like, I think I want to get married.
Doing that, I couldn't see
anything.
You know, anything. All I could see was what I wasn't able to do at the moment that I really, really wanted to do it. I was just out here. As many, you know, new graduates or even like seasoned professionals, when you lose your job, don't get the promotion mm-hmm. or things don't go the way that you want them to go, and you can't really see past like that experience to see what might be coming next for you. So yeah. I was in a very complicated place.
But it was a purposed place.
Yeah, it was, because it taught me to find my spiritual outlet and also to be able to distinguish between when people are telling me what they want to tell me versus mm-hmm. somebody is like dressing it up and trying to say like, God told me to tell you this.
Yeah.
Which came in handy later on in life too.
Yeah.
To find discernment, to find encouragement, to figure out who I am and what I want to stand for. When I have an opportunity to be a vessel for somebody else, how am I going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And not diminish like their experiences that they're going through. So it taught me a whole lot looking back at that time.
Oh, here's a funny story, y'all. Taz used to be, what were you, an assistant to the group Chic?
I was working with one of the lead singers of Chic.
So Taz calls me. Chic is performing at Hammerstein's ballroom. So I go with Taz. And Taz is doing her thing, taking pictures, being Taz Mia. I don't know how I just happened to be by the stage. So it was towards the end. And I don't know how he reached his hand down and pulled me up on the stage. So I was on the stage singing We Are Family. So Taz is all around the ballroom looking for me. And she says she happened to turn around. Do you remember that, Taz? And she looked on the stage and I'm on the stage singing We Are Family. And I said, you know what? Taz got some clout here. I'm on the stage with Chic, now I'm Rogers.
And I said, how is she able to do that? I'm over here working.
And I'm on the stage.
And she's on the stage. I was like, what is... what?
She couldn't believe how, what? What in the Sam Hill how? But I was on there. I was up there.
But to bring it full circle, how I even got that is that I was working for a nonprofit in the Bronx, and I met this guy named Ralph Roll, who is the drummer for that band.
Oh,
and
okay.
He also has the cookies, Soul Snack Cookie Company, and I was working with him on his cookie company. And when I called him to tell him that I wanted to, you know, do my own business and what I was doing, he had sent me so many referrals.
Wow.
And he keeps me updated on the things that he's doing. And whenever there's a time or space for him to plug me into something, he definitely, definitely gives me opportunity. And that came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting him to do that.
We used to have a little saying. So anytime something great would happen, we would say, just God.
Just God.
I think it was in 2007 or 8, I had a women's ministry. I had a huge women's ministry in the Transit Authority, Sisters Flow. Sisters Flow in the house, Tasmia.
Hey, hey, hey.
So I decided, well, I know it was nothing but the Lord preparing Tasmia. We were having a weekend, remember that? A weekend retreat. So I said, you know what, Taz? I'm doing too much stuff. I need you to take over the whole business aspect. She took the challenge. Okay. So that was all practice and purpose.
It was. Like, when you think back to retrospect, a lot of the things that I did that I didn't even realize I was being tasked with were things that I needed to do in either, like, my actual professional jobs that mm-hmm. I got later on, or things that I have to handle now, mm-hmm. when I feel like people are, you know, not giving me my respect or my work, or I feel
an
like
audience. I don't want to say this, but Taz is the littlest person in the room. So when she comes in the room, she overpowers and overtakes. They like, who is this young lady, this little person? Here's a question, Taz. Why did you want to start your own company?
I didn't want to be an entrepreneur. I actually was one of these people that thought I was going to just work for somebody mm-hmm. for forever mm-hmm. and retire and just live my life. Mm-hmm. But circumstances made me become an entrepreneur. My boss at the time.
Oh, that's a whole nother episode.
Yeah, that's a whole nother interview. But my boss at the time wasn't able to share space and influence with me. Mm-hmm. And every time I came to her with an idea, she more or less either shot the idea down, mm-hmm. let me work on it, and then take all the credit if it went really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, like, everything that I bring to her can't not work. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just not possible.
But she was secretly taking it as her own.
So I started helping my friends who were, like, more entrepreneurial, because mm-hmm. even though I wasn't an entrepreneur at the time, I was working with other entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day I just started enjoying doing my own work mm-hmm. more than I enjoyed actually going to work. And I started seeing, like, I'm dedicated all of these hours at this job that I did enjoy. Mm-hmm. And I'm really not getting anything that is of value. Like, even my salary wasn't of value because I was working overtime, like, every day.
Mm-hmm.
So it was almost like, well, what am I doing this for? So mm-hmm. I had never been in a position where I'm leaving this job and I'm not going to another job. Like, I'm going to work for myself.
So and, Taz, before you go on, I know there was struggles and doubts of you leaving. I know there was a financial aspect, like, what am I going to do? How am I going to pay these bills? And doubt, suppose I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
How did you manage to get through that?
To be honest, I really don't know, because it was from my immediate family background.
Mm-hmm.
We aren't entrepreneurs. You go, you get a job, you work this job, you do mm-hmm. everything that you're supposed to do, and you save your money, and you retire, and you, like, live your life after retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So even the idea of me having to go to my family and say,
and tell them that
I'm going to quit my job, and they're on the other end, like, okay, and so you got another job, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I don't got no other job. Like, I'm going to go work.
You like Tommy or Martin? He ain't got no job.
I don't got no other job. I'm going to go work for myself, was something that was kind of hard for them to understand in the beginning. But I will say, even though my mom didn't have a clue what I was doing, she was like, all right, so we gonna quit this job because I think your boss is kind of crazy. So yeah, you should quit the job.
But find another one.
But I was nervous. It was like, what happens if I don't make this money that I'm supposed to make?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if I can't find clients? What happens if I have a bad, you know, couple months?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be homeless in these New York City streets.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, I knew that I had more people that were watching me and secretly hoping that I was going to fall on my face than helping me.
Yeah.
Then I had people that was actually willing to help me figure certain things out. And I knew that. And I knew that I didn't have the same network that other folks had to give opportunity. And I knew that I was still me. You know, like, I'm a smaller person. My voice isn't that heavy. Sometimes people don't take me seriously.
Yeah.
Sometimes people try to take advantage of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I was going with all of the things that I had already struggled with before that I had to navigate through. But I also knew I was smart because I knew that every time I joined a team, everything changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that everybody always came to me to fix things or create things or implement stuff. So I knew that I was smart enough to do it. I don't think I was ever like, I'm not smart enough to do this. I come from a perspective of, I can figure everything out. It just might take me time.
So Taz, that's a scary place to be, but you were confident in your abilities, in yourself, and you knew the Lord had put this in you. A lot of people want to do something, but they don't have any confidence and they, you know, oh, I can't really do this. I applaud you on that. How do you manage? This is a two-part question. How do you manage marriage, motherhood, and being the CEO of your company? And how does your husband feel about you running your own company?
Okay, so I'll do the last question first and then go back to the first question. When we met, I was already an entrepreneur. So he found me when I was already grew into this person.
Okay.
So he kind of just had to take it.
If he wanted you.
he just had to take it. Like, this is what I do. I think that most time he's very proud that I am an entrepreneur. Sometimes he has to set aside things that he wants to do because I'm like, I got to work on this.
He's supportive. Very.
I want to go to that conference. And I also help him think through his business ideas too. But I also try to not insert myself in the things that he wants to do and take it over. So I kind of have this philosophy where I don't give him help unless he asks me for help.
Okay. So what about motherhood? How does this, I'm trying to say, how do you finesse motherhood? You have a toddler and you're about to have a newborn. How does this fit in your journey as being a CEO?
So that was a development that had to happen. Mm-hmm. So raised, like most people, you keep your personal life and your professional life completely separate.
Mm-hmm.
To give some perspective, Elijah was born during COVID. I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna do that. Mm-hmm. I thought about it in the beginning, like, how am I gonna like keep this, you know, professional setting, and I'm just gonna talk about my business when I'm with my clients and they'll never know anything about my personal life. Uh-huh. But that was very unrealistic, right? Like, he's here, stays home with me and I work with him. So it's no way that he's going to be a secret or something that I could put to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just had to incorporate him
in the process,
in my business model. So he became my chief of staff and I introduced him as such. He's been doing business meetings with me and his baby carrier. And now he actually sits at the table And sometimes he wants the clients to know that he's there. So when I found out that we were going to be having Zoe, I just, you know, it was just like, okay, so now Zoe's going to be the VP of...
no, she might take over and be the CEO, the chief of staff.
The finance and strategic partnerships. So it is interesting. You know, now I just feel like I have to be transparent about my life because I usually meet people that want to work with me. They don't necessarily, it's not my products or my services that I offer that make them want to, you know, sign a contract. It's just that they want to work with me. And part of working with me is that my kids are there. When you think through legacy businesses, the way that that works is that your actual kids and grandkids know what you're doing in your business.
Exactly.
And so what better way for my kids to be able to inherit my business than for them to work
in it, from day one?
They were born, right?
From day one. Like, bottom line says it can be done. It can be done.
Yeah, you just have to make it work.
One last question. Is God a part of your journey?
Yeah.
How big a part?
Oh my gosh. I think I was sharing with you the other day that people see me doing things and they think that I'm just out here in these mean streets just coming up with ideas and doing stuff. But what people really don't know, I actually pray a lot. And I pray for discernment a lot.
Yeah, you need it. You need it.
What to write in an email, what words to use, what to say when I'm having to have challenging conversations with folks and I don't know what to do. I pray about that. I go to what I call is my council of very small people and you know, say this is how I'm feeling or this is what I'm struggling with and I don't really know what to do. How should I handle it? So God is like all up and through.
All up in your business.
Because of the way that I choose to handle certain situations, you know, I could go from 0 to 100 most of the time. But, you know, sometimes I just stay at a cool 5.
So, Taz, really, I want to thank you for sharing your journey with us. And I know there are great things coming for you, great things coming to you. Any parting words do you have for somebody that may be struggling with leaving their job and because they want to start their own business?
Well, the first thing is congratulations for even thinking that that's something that you want to do. And the second thing that I would say is to just do it. Even if you're scared, just do it scared because you never really know how you're going to grow or what that opportunity is going to present to you. So even if everything isn't lined up, it's not falling in place the way that you want it to fall in place. You just got to still go for it.
Go for it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it, Miss Tazmir. The next time we will talk to Taz on this show, she will be the proud mother of Elijah and little Zoe.
Yeah, and you probably will hear her in the background. Because she will be on the interview.
If you ever get another R&B singer, I'm here. And we will talk soon.
Okay.
Thanks for tuning in to Girl Talk with Diana. Real conversations about real life with real people. Don't forget to join us for another episode. And remember, your life will change if you're willing to change it. See you soon.